No pressure with my prediction there,
no
man.
Pressure. No pressure. You just didn't chip out in 2016.
Welcome to another episode of the Rogue Startups Podcast with Craig Hewitt and Dave Rodenbaugh. This is a podcast documenting the journey as self-funded business founders and sharing lessons, tips, and tricks for businesses following the same path as ours. The journey is long and winding, but we're glad you're joining us for it. And now it's time to go rogue with Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome to episode 44 of the Rogue Startups Podcast. Today, you know, it's getting towards the end of the year. It's a week before Christmas Eve right now. And so Dave and I thought it would be a good idea to kind of sit back and reflect a little bit on the year that's passed and look forward ahead a little bit to 2016, not just for ourselves and our businesses, but for the show itself. So the show's been around a year, and kind of talk about what we've seen it do and grow, and kind of what some of our goals are for the podcast in the future. So Dave, how's it going, man?
It's going good. I should note that the other option of our episode today was going to be Craig and I doing our favorite Christmas carols, but since that sounded like a horrible idea, we decided to go with this instead.
It's a valid option. It still could be, right?
Get a couple of rounds of eggnog innocent at the end here. It might be Jingle Bell Rock or something, right?
Still might be. There's chance. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, end of the year, hopefully we're all slowing down a little bit and are able to take a few minutes around some of the eggnog and the you know, imbibery to reflect a little bit. And I think we sat down last week, earlier this week, I guess, a little bit to think about, you know, where the show has been. And the show is really just about a year old right now. So even before you and I talked when you were a guest, Dave, you know, the show really started right, I think, the week between Christmas and New Year. So it's not even a year old right now. And it's really just been a ton of fun. And it's exposed both of us to a lot of people, I think. I've certainly learned a lot about business and about networking and meeting people. But, you know, we can do some things better, too, I think, in terms of the show.
Well, there's always good stuff and bad stuff in there. But yeah, you know, and by the way, I do expect on our first year of our podcast anniversary, you get me a little gift. I think it's the paper anniversary, right?
I'll get you something.
A little origami folded crane or something. Maybe in the shape of a microphone.
I'll come up with something very creative. Don't worry. Yeah. You might not appreciate it, but
I don't know. I might put a photo of it up on Twitter.
That'd be horrible.
But yeah, I mean, looking back on the year of the podcast, I have to say, you know, it's been challenging to, you know, try to do a weekly show and get things out the door all the time and find interesting guests and try to talk about interesting topics. And, you know, I think sometimes we've really hit the mark and sometimes, you know, it fell a bit short, but it really has been very interesting in the sense that, you know, my network has really expanded. You and I got to meet for the first time. We opened up some new doors to ourselves professionally when we went to Rhodium Weekend. And so this year has been really, you know, quite amazing, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of the content, it's the very typical thing that you hear from a lot of, you know, bloggers or people that create a lot of content, is it's not always the one you think is going to be great that turns out to really resonate. I think, you know, today our best episode so far was a couple of months ago, Paralyzing Fear and Your Inner Chimp, and just talking about what happens when you're so scared of doing something that you really do nothing. And I mean, it was a fun episode to do, but I have to say I've had a lot more fun on other episodes, and things that I've really gotten a lot more out of than that talk. But it just kind of goes to show you that we're not right, right? We're not right at what the listeners are really going to enjoy. And so just kind of shutting up and recording and listening to what people have to say by their downloads and shares probably is the best way to guide what we do going forward to an extent, I guess.
Absolutely. That was a bit of a surprise to me as well. And yeah, I thought there were other episodes that we have certain, you know, people on to interview and thought, man, this is just going to crush it, because this is something that I was really interested in, and I just assumed everybody else was interested in it too, but it didn't work out that way. So, you know, that's all right. We will bring a more good stuff in 2016, and we'll see what sticks, and if it doesn't, we'll just keep talking, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I think we do have a core group of people. So, you know, right now our downloads are in the several few hundred downloads an episode. I think, you know, we can count those as sort of subscribers, because it's pretty consistent, you know, 300-plus downloads an episode, which is not, you know, it's not blowing the doors off of anything. But it's nice to know that what you and I have to say and the people we talk to really resonates with that group of people. So that's really cool. And I think getting into things that we can do better is, particularly when we have messages that we think are really important for people to hear and can be particularly useful, really doing a better job of sharing that and engaging with what can be our listeners. I think that, you know, we're going to really kind of get organized about that and do some things better in terms of social media sharing and emailing, you know, our what is a relatively small list, but emailing the list some little goodies that go along with each episode and really trying to up our engagement level on a weekly basis.
Yep. Yep. Those all sound like good goals. And, you know, I think maybe throwing out some new concepts there of having things like maybe do another live show. I really had a great time doing that live show that we did at MicroConf when Ken and I were there, and doing something similar this April would be awesome again. Get a different group of people, or even get the same group of people, and we all just go at it again, because it was really awesome.
Yeah.
And I thought that was definitely one of our more popular episodes as well, where we're all half drunk and swearing and talking about just random shit. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, the energy around MicroConf is really lends itself to good stuff, right? I mean, you have a lot of great ideas going around in your head, and to try and put that quote down on paper or on audio to have other people listen to and get a feel for the vibe there is a cool way to relay some of what we're experiencing. So yeah, I think so. And we saw that a little bit at Rhodium. I mean, I think we sat down 10 minutes after the meeting was over to record that episode, and I think that was great. If we would have waited a week, a lot of that energy would have dissipated, I think.
Totally, totally. And, you know, I definitely want to have, like, one of the things that I really enjoyed, one of our interviews in particular, just because it was so personal, was the talk that we had with Taylor Pearson, talking about the end of jobs. But then as we got toward the end of it, you know, we were talking about non-traditional ways of education, and we got into the whole homeschooling thing, where he, of course, doesn't have any kids, and we did. And so we had just this, you know, off the cuff, you know, where he was basically interviewing us at that point, getting into how do you drive your family's purpose, and how do you find, you know, these lifestyle choices that are not necessarily mainstream, and how do you work with that, and what does that mean to your life, and how does that change your outlook, and, you know, so on and so forth. And like the same discussion that we had with Breck Palumbo, which was also another awesome episode that I'll reference in that same vein. So that I want to have more of those kind of discussions in 2016. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, I'll make a prediction here, is I think both of us will experience changes in our lives, personal / professional, as that line is kind of skewed as an entrepreneur, to where we'll have more of those discussions kind of from a firsthand perspective. You know, I mean, we're going to be quitting our job. I'm going to be quitting my job the end of February, hanging out through MicroConf, and then we're going to go to Europe. And so we're going to have a lot to talk about with that. I mean, we're going to experience homeschooling firsthand starting in August, where my daughter will be in kindergarten. And so, you know, what is that like? Are we going to kind of unschool or just homeschool? And how do you find people living in another country where they speak a different language and all these kinds of things? So I think through some of that experience, and I expect that you'll make the jump next year too. I don't, you know, right now that path is maybe not as clear, but I expect you'll make the jump next year through, you know, an acquisition or just increase in revenue from your plugins or whatever. And so it'll be cool to see that evolution firsthand or in the first person for both of us. And I think along with that will come some of those discussions.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, no pressure with my prediction there,
man. No pressure. You just didn't check out in 2016. Well, you know, I mean, it wasn't really until later this year that I even sort of had what I finally would say is sort of a coherent exit plan. And it was really right before Rhodium Weekend when it was like, all right, if I acquire something and I have the means to do it, then here's how what that looks like and how it changes my cash flow and plus the income I'm getting from the WordPress plugins. Can I finally get out of consulting? And then when I started running those numbers, it's like, yeah, I can. This is achievable. This is totally doable. Now all I have to do is just find the right deal. And, you know, there was a pretty good deal that materialized and it fell apart. And now I'm just kind of waiting for that next deal. But, you know, 2016, that's 12 months of goodness right there. And lots of stuff came up in 2015. There's no reason to think that something might not materialize in 2016 and get me out of the game, which would be great. That is definitely one of my goals as well.
Yeah, it's great to have a strategy and a plan. And yeah, you really are just the right opportunity away from being able to pull that trigger, I think.
Yep. So with that, shall we talk about 2015 goals that we got and we missed on and then talk about 2016?
Let's hear it. How did you do in 2015?
Well, 2015 is kind of a mixed bag for me, you know? I had basically 8 primary goals. And I, since we didn't really start our show at the beginning of the year with those goals, it's, this is very retrospect here. But I had put this stuff down in my mastermind group, so I'm okay with talking about these things. There's nothing particularly salacious about these details here. But so the first goal that I had was to launch Support Vine by July of 2015. And then going along with that, afterwards, I was trying to acquire 100 customers and get to 5,000 monthly recurring revenue by end of year. So I think it's pretty safe to say I had a big hashtag fail on all of that. But with that said, you know, when I shut it down in August, it was absolutely the right decision. Here I am 4 months later, not even the slightest tinge of regret exists.
That's great.
So I'm looking back on that as the absolute right decision. It feels right. It definitely was economically the right thing to do. I think I was just plowing headlong into a wall with that. So all of those goals become null and void at this point, and I'm totally fine with that. The other goals that I had that went along that actually didn't go along with that were ones around the plugins. So one of them was to increase the collective revenue of my plugins by 25%. That one didn't turn out as well as I had hoped. My projected growth rate, because obviously December is not quite done yet, is probably going to be around 5%. So that was actually a major disappointment for me. But in that, you know, that number doesn't really reflect the 12 months of learning I actually had about all the different things that I tried with the plugin that didn't really work as promotion growth strategies. And so I tried a lot of traditional growth hacking stuff, things that were getting tossed out there that say, hey, this works great on my SaaS. And I'm like, hell yeah, let's try that on the plugins. It was like, whoa, okay, that didn't move the needle at all. okay, I guess I got to try something else. And there was also like a major mistake where, you know, in the middle part of the year, I had 4 months, which were pretty high growth months, traditionally pretty high revenue months for me. And I had my autoresponder was switched over by my own mistake from single opt-in to double opt-in. And all of a sudden, my subscribe rates dropped in half. And for whatever reason, it was like 4 months of me scrambling to try to figure out why the hell this broke. And unfortunately, those 4 months aren't months I get back. So now that I've got that back in and now that the revenue is doing what it used to do before – you know, I lost those 4 months of growth period right there because I just got distracted with other things. That was still in the middle of when Support Vine was going hot and heavy, and so I didn't have my focus back on the plugins. I mean, there's just lots of stuff that contributed to that.
Do you think that Support Vine itself contributed to some of that reduction in growth?
Certainly my focus was more on Support Vine during those months because it was from June until basically August. Right after I shut down Support Vine, that's when I jumped on this and I'm like, holy shit, why am I not seeing these subscribers? It looks like they're totally tanking. I kind of identified it in June, but then got distracted with other stuff on Support Vine. My team was like, hey, we need to do this. Can we do this? Hey, test this. what about this? Check this out. You know, so it was like support Vine, and stuff with the plugins. As long as they were running, I was more or less just ignoring it.
Yeah.
My bad. So, you know, how are you going to increase revenue when you're ignoring something? So there's lesson learned. Number one, right? Number two was the fact that the autoresponder thing was something I should have jumped on way earlier. And then number three was when I was actually working on it, the things that I was trying weren't necessarily working. So, you know, the lesson there is if you're trying something that says, hey, this works in X, where X might be SaaS businesses, and you pull it out and say, all right, I'm going to try this on my e-commerce site. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. It sort of depends on how that resonates with your audience. And some things will and some things won't. Let's see what else here are my goals. So I had to release some new modules for both of the plugins, 4 for Business Directory and 3 for AWP CP. Got both of those done. So, cha-ching! Then I was supposed to turn over email support to a guy that I had talked to around MicroConf. That one's actually still in process. I'm still writing the standard operating procedure. I am probably about 50% done with that. I haven't made any progress this week because of a release, but that is definitely probably going to happen before the end of the year. And then the other thing was is that I was going to experiment with the plugin pricing because I had literally just left – I don't know. It was like 3 years where I had the plug-in and I hadn't really done a damn thing in terms of the prices. I just set the prices and I kind of forgot them.
Mm-hmm.
So this year I actually tried some changes. I bumped some stuff on the upper tier. I promoted renewals. You know, I tried some other stuff just to see what was going to stick and what wasn't. And obviously since I have 5% growth, my pricing experiments weren't all successful. And that was interesting information to find out. You know, caused me to learn some things about how the renewals are treated, how you actually approach your customers for the renewals, email deliverability problems that was affecting people because they would suddenly come back to me and say, hey, my stuff's expired. I don't know why it expired. And I'm like, dude, I sent you 3 emails. Why didn't you get any of them? They're like, I didn't receive any. And I went and looked and it was like, hey, these things were kind of bouncing. So I had some server problems with that. So there was definitely learning and discovery that went on in there, even if the experiments didn't necessarily turn out to be a success. So all in all, I'd say 2015 was okay, but you know, probably as many misses as hits for me. How about you?
So one question on the support is turning over the support, a thing you're doing in advance of either autopiloting or selling the plugins, or is it just something you feel like you need to do in order to grow them as a business?
I think the reason I want to hand over the support basically is so that I can actually stop focusing on the day-to-day stuff and be able to deal with more strategic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It also helps position me if I did want to sell it, which I'm not really interested in right now. It also helps position me if I want to acquire something else, because then I can take all of my focus and put it into that new thing and know that the plugins are still running just fine. So strategically, it just puts me in a good spot, and that's why I want to do it. It's not because I have any specific thing that says, I need to do this right now, although I will probably get there if something pops in first quarter of 2016. But right now, there's not some burning thing that's out there waiting for me to do this. This is just one of those things that I'm like, I've been talking about it for a long time. I think it's time to make it happen.
Yeah. I think it's nice. It gives you the flexibility to do either, right? You can autopilot it and focus on something else, or bundle it up and sell it. And it's a really valuable thing to somebody then that all they have to do is just pay money and get cash flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing that I've really learned about that whole procedure is how long it actually takes to do it so far.
Tell me about it. Yep.
I mean, not just building the standard operating procedure, but like all the stuff I had to get ready for the standard operating procedure. Like I had to do that migration to Help Scout first, because you're not just going to hand over your Outlook to somebody, right? So then once I did that, it's like, oh, I got to set this whole damn thing up. Oh, now I've got to think about how this workflow goes. Oh, now I've got to figure out, are there things in this tool that I want to leverage as part of my standard operating procedure? All of this stuff is just kind of going along. And then when you start writing down all of the little things that you're doing, you're like, oh, there's like 6 more pages of detail that goes with that little tidbit I just threw out there.
Yeah.
And you just keep going and going and going. That doc just gets bigger and bigger. every time I sit down to write it, I think, God, I'm close to done. And I'm like, I'm nowhere fucking close to done.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that kind of segues into to my goals. I mean, so, you know, it was an interesting year for me if I look at all 12 months where, you know, Podcast Motor was really just born in, I don't know, February or March. So I don't even have a whole year of history on it. But, you know, my goal from the beginning was to get to 10,000 a month in revenue. And we're close. We're very close. We're not quite there. But you know, profit is not, with a service business, not anywhere near that. We have a pretty healthy profit margin, even though we're spending a fair amount on marketing right now. But came up a little short of 10,000 a month. But the best thing probably is just because I don't have, you know, 40 hours a week or whatever to dedicate to it because of the day job, I put a bunch of time into outsourcing and unloading all of the day-to-day production and scheduling and management of the business. And I mean, I don't know how many episodes I talked about, well, we're still struggling with this, or we're working on it, we're getting close. And the switch didn't really flip until we hired Becky to be, you know, pretty much full-time with us. And that was October, maybe September, October. And I mean, since then, I don't spend almost any time on the day-to-day production work of the shows right now. I mean, I spend more on our show and on the show with Ken than I do on any customer shows on an ongoing basis. And right now it really is just onboarding new customers and setting them up, which I think is something I need to keep my hands on. But I'm looking to offload some of that to part of the team. And then just sales and marketing, which is, you know, we're very fortunate to have a good reputation and have a high ranking in Google for some key terms. But I'm excited that I got the outsourcing of the real day-to-day work done, and it's very stable, and it's been stable for a couple of months now, which makes me feel really good. Makes me feel awesome that we can scale, you know, going into next year and get from 25 or 30 to 50 customers and not fucking break it, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I mean, you have, in 1 year's time, building a productized services from basically March until now and scaling it to the point that you have, getting it stabilized, standard operating procedures. I mean, you have, if you had like 10 hands, all of them should be patting you on the back.
Right? So, yeah, I mean, but, you know, I'm fortunate, right? I mean, being able to talk to people like Brian Castle about what he's done and listen to a lot of good people that have been there, it has been really helpful. So and then my last goal for the year was kind of a combo, like day job and Podcast Motor thing, was to save enough money to quit my job in early 2016, and we're there. So you know, the acquisition we just made transferred some of that savings into cash flow, which is great. You know, one of the things we didn't want to do is just burn our savings next year. And with acquiring our two sites in the last couple of weeks, it's going to bring in the money. You know, that plus Podcast Motor should sort of sure us up on a monthly burn rate to be pretty close to cool, you know, starting in March. So,
right, right, yeah, you definitely don't want to you know, savings in my book, because I'm very financially conservative, are basically an emergency fund.
Yeah.
You know, you want that there when shit goes south, and if you're relying on that for day-to-day living, you're not in a good place. So
yeah.
That's totally my opinion. I know other people have a very different take on that, but that's very much how my wife and I look at things. And yeah, sounds like you're kind of on that same page, and that's good.
Yeah,
that's
for good. Sure.
I think that'll serve you guys well.
So what's next year look like for you?
Well, you know, I like to throw out some big, ambitious, hairy goals, and then try to strive for them. Because if I don't do that, then, you know, if you shoot kind of low and you hit it, you know, midway through the year, then you're sort of left with this, oh, well, what do I do for the next 6 months, you know? So I try to come up with stuff that's big. And I'd say that the first one right now is to buy something large enough for me to get out of the consulting game for good. And that is probably my A number one goal that I've got above all else at this point. So, you know, Effie International, I'm looking at you right out there. Coming at you guys. And those guys are great. So, yeah, poor David has to put up with me all the time with my
David
cosmic.
Newell's got you on he's got a special ringtone for you.
He probably does, I'm going to ignore this dude now because he's constantly asking me questions. But, awesome. You know, I totally love those guys. I think they're great. I think they're awesome. So that's the big thing right there. That's all goals are superseded or whatever the hell it is.
Subservient.
Thank you very much. They're subservient to that goal. Now, with that said, there's a lot of waiting that's going to be in that goal because there are so many things that are out of my control on that one. If that's my only goal for 2016, then I'm going to be wasting a lot of time. So with that said, there's lots of other things that I've thrown in there as well. So I've got that new CRM plugin that I picked up in September, October-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm going to try to do is I want to grow that one. So I need to throw in some new features, make it so that there's a reason to buy the premium upgrades right now, which I've got some great ideas for that. I'm going to cross promote it to my 10,000 subscribers on the plugin lists. And then there's some other ones that are out there. I am going to be running Big Snow Tiny Conf in February. So this is the very first conference I've ever tried to run. Now, it's not nearly the scale of something like MicroConf or Rhodium Weekend or anything like that. But it's still, you know, you want to do a good job with that, right? So that's one of my goals, is to have a successful conference so that people want to come back. I want to look for other plugin opportunities that may fit into my current ecosystem. There was an opportunity earlier this year for trying to buy WP Remote, which was like a plugin update service. And I spoke with the guys about that, and the price didn't really make sense for what I was looking for. So I had to kind of pass that up. But if I were to find something similar to that, I might jump on that. Anything that I could use to build up my current plugin revenue to also get me out of the consulting game would be fair game as well.
Would you consider going outside of plugins, or do you think, I mean, I know the theme market is a really tough bear, but would you consider that?
Well, it depends on what you mean by going outside of the plugin market. So
staying within WordPress, but not for plugins, I guess.
I would do that, and that's kind of what WP Remote was. It wasn't there was a plugin involved with it, but it was more like, this is an update service for WordPress sites. So it was kind of a SaaS business for WordPress. But for a variety of reasons, it didn't sort of fit with what I was looking for here. If there's something like that, that was a WordPress SaaS kind of business, I would absolutely jump on that, because I could use my 10,000 customers that are on my email list as a means of promoting it. So I would say that's totally fair game at this point, but I haven't seen tons of those opportunities. So it would very much depend. Again, that's going to be a waiting game. So when I say find other WordPress plugin opportunities, I really ought to just delete the word plugin, because anything that fits into the WordPress ecosystem that would be an opportunity, I think I jump on that.
Yeah, you can cross promote, right?
Yeah.
Huge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, carrying my stuff over from 2015, I want to try to grow my plugins again. This time I'm going to shoot for 20%. I think 25% was a bit ambitious. And then I want to release new modules for both of them, and try to turn over my support by the end of the first quarter in 2016. I think that should give me enough time, considering other things that are going on, because January is actually a really busy month for the business directory. I guess everybody starts thinking about their businesses again, and I've seen this now for 3 years, so there's no reason to think it's not going to happen for the fourth.
Sure, sure.
And of course, you know, our podcast is now a big part of my entrepreneurial journey, and sharing our updates on a weekly basis is a big thing. So, you know, I want to have weekly podcast episodes with us minus 2 weeks. You know, I figure 1 week for something like Thanksgiving and 1 week for the end of the year, Christmassy kind of time, when people aren't really thinking about podcasts and they're thinking about their families anyway.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, I guess speaking of that, I guess fair disclaimer that this will be the last show of the week of the year for us. We won't have a New Year's week podcast episode. So
there you go. And it will be the last show of that week as well, just in case you're curious.
That's right. That's right.
Well, how about you? What are you looking at for 2016?
Yeah, those are some killer goals, man. I mean, it's very comprehensive. I think it covers, you know, your super ambitious goal, like you said, and then some others. Just because the super ambitious one is a lot of it's out of your control. So, you know, if the right opportunity doesn't come along, it's just not going to happen. So, I like that you have some other things there. Yeah, you know, for me, it's really a multi-pronged deal, I guess, but you know, getting Podcast Motor to a profit, I guess like a direct profit of $10,000 a month is my goal, which is, you know, about doubling it from where we are now. And I guess I don't have to double revenue, but I have to increase profitability some too. So, you know, we're looking at some different pricing strategies. We're looking at some, you know, after February, looking at some ways to really go after customers in a strategic and organized outreach way. You know, right now the fact is we're getting a couple to a handful new customers a month. And if we had like 10 new customers right now, I would just fucking lose it. I mean, as good as the team is with handling things, there's a certain amount of work that goes into just bringing a new customer into the fold, even if it's an ongoing show. And I can't handle more than a couple new customers a month. And so on sales calls right now, we create a little bit of scarcity by saying we only bring on two new shows a month. And so it's a nice thing. I just got off a sales call just before we started. And I told the guy that, and he's like, wow, so I wouldn't be able to start until the middle of February. And I said, no, you deserve our time and attention. And I don't want to steal that from somebody else by bringing in more customers than we can really serve on an ongoing basis with, you know, to set up the new shows, I guess. So,
that's good. I like how you kind of set the expectations, but at the same time, it sort of makes your serve, it increases the perception of value of your service. Like, hey, we want to make sure that this is like the killer service for you. So we are only doing two people at a time.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, wait a minute. I want now. I want it right now. And you're like, well, you know, I can't do that right now because I'm trying to make it the most high quality production for everybody. And that would include you. But if I start bringing on tons of people, then I can't do that. Dude, I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess that part of that messaging I've carried over from my day job, and we create some scarcity around our product and the service that I sell. And so that's a nice thing to be able to carry over. But it also makes people treat us on a long-term basis in a different way. I mean, we try to take ourselves as far away from a commodity of a service as possible, and so people don't treat us, you know, like dog shit freelancers, which is cool. So, and I have a similar goal in terms of profit for our Europe site. So, I mean, we're chugging along. Right now, looking at what the previous owner's revenue was, and it will be several multiples of that to get to the goal of $10,000 a month. But I think it's totally doable. And I mean, if you look at the sites right now, they're unorganized and they're relatively ugly, and they have a lot of room for improvement, not just in the look and feel and UI and UX, but how they're monetized. It's just really, I mean, AdSense is 90-something% of it right now. And I mean, we're going to look at affiliate options and other ad networks and, you know, all these sorts of things that, as I'm digging into it more, is going to be really cool to see how some of these opportunities sort of come out. So I'm excited. I'll be learning a lot about it. And Amanda is really learning a lot about it and is excited about it too. So that's going to be cool that she's going to be really engaging in some of that stuff, so that I don't have to be the full bearer of the responsibility there.
Nice. Is she going to write any of the content for the site?
She is, and she already has. We published new episodes or new new episodes, new new blog articles for each site today. So that was cool, and we're going to try to write one or two big articles a week. You know, I think if you look at what a lot of people say about content now, the 500 word article doesn't really get you anything. So instead of like two of those a week, we're going to try to write one like 1500 word article. and do a better job of content marketing, not just publishing a blog and sending out a tweet, but engaging with people that in the space might really appreciate it and trying to really spread the word, get those backlinks and things like that. So, nice. Yeah, nice. Yeah. And then, you know, what I've really sort of realized is kind of the overall goal of the business at this point is to just keep snowballing this into just, I don't want to say a portfolio, but, you know, hopefully Podcast Motor and the travel sites keep growing. And, you know, with that, they're going to be spinning off what is hopefully extra cash. And I think we'll always be on the lookout for other things to buy, you know, things that are, like you're saying, consistent within our niche and that makes sense and that we can cross-promote to and share audience with and things like that. You know, whether it's something in the podcasting space, whether it's something, you know, with our European travel sites, you know, either one I think would be cool. And, you know, every time we save up 10, 20, 30 grand, just dig it back into the business and acquire more assets. If it's a repeatable model that we know and understand, then I think I would be all about it. I talked about the course that I want to launch and build, and I'll do that after the first of the year. It'll be a learning experience to see how that goes, but I think once the new sites are kind of fleshed out and updated and everything's running on relative autopilot there, that'll be a good time to jump into building the course. And then the big one really, though, all this is just to give us the freedom to travel. I mean, quitting the job at the end of February, hanging out for whatever, a month, and then going to MicroConf, and then we're going to Europe in April, and it'll be, you know, 6-7 months coming back around the holidays, probably just before Thanksgiving, and just really getting a feel for, you know, living over there and living so far away from our family, where it's just the four of us, you know, me and Amanda and the kids, and kind of getting a feel for, like, you know, is this somewhere we could really live? Could we live in Europe long term and you know, establish residency there? I don't know. Neither of us really know until we get there and figure it out. I mean, we loved our time there, but we weren't with the kids. And, you know, what is school like? And what is establishing residency and getting a visa? And what is working like in another country where you don't speak the language necessarily? So it's going to be a lot of questions. I think the trip itself is going to be really cool and something that we'll definitely never forget. But really figuring out where we're going to live, I hate that that's a goal, but that's a goal because we want to be able to enroll the kids in school somewhere in January, so a year from now. So there is a lot of work to be done on that. I mean, we want to go a bunch of places and see a bunch of places and experience the culture, you know, there and then probably here too. I mean, we have some places in the U.S. where we haven't really spent time and giving those places a fair crack at now that we're truly location independent, you know, what does living out west again look like, or what is looking, you know, living up in the mountains somewhere look like? So that's a great big question mark for sure.
Dude, that is a huge question mark. I think you've totally understated that.
Yeah.
That's going to be some interesting stuff to talk about on the podcast in 2016. I, for one, am actually very excited to hear about the, you know, your week to week stories about just daily life in whatever country you guys land in. I think you're talking about maybe hitting France up first, right?
Yeah. So we're pretty surely going to hit Provence, which is like the south of France, first, stay there for a month. Yeah. And then kind of do some fast traveling in between there and what our next place is going to be, either Belgium or Netherlands probably. And then, you know, spending a month there and then doing some more sort of fast travel and then spending a few months in the UK. I say fast traveling, you know, it might be a week or two at a time. But in the places where we're going to be a month at a time, we're going to, you know, the Airbnb for a month, the cost is really attractive. So it'll be, you know, the times in between there will be a little more expensive and we just can't afford to, financially, we can't afford to do that for, you know, the whole 6 months, but also the kids would just go nuts living in a hotel for 6 months. So
yeah, that totally doesn't work with kids. You got to have a more amenable living situation than a hotel. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I just get antsy being in a hotel for a week. I mean, I can't hang out there. It's too much. I think I've done so much business travel at this point. I just get a little twitchy.
Yeah. No.
Hanging out in the hotel, I'm like, I just got to get out of here now, because I just have this association with being, you know, working for a company and at a place, and it's not, it doesn't feel homey, and you know, you've got the housekeeping that comes in every day and is messing with stuff in the room, and yeah, you know, the sheets and the being overstarched and just crazy little things like that. You're like, I just want to be in a bed that feels homey, you know?
Yeah.
And hotels don't feel homey.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, I think Airbnb bridges that gap pretty well. But even then, I mean, it's not your home. It's not your stuff. It's not your toilet paper. It's not, you know, it's all those sorts of things that are just weird, like you're saying, weird. Yeah. And I think that, you know, where we end up and how we go through the travels is going to be a learning experience. I mean, I think we're going to have some really shitty times. We're going to have a lot of great times, but I think it's going to, there's going to be some times that are just really tough. And so it'll be cool to learn that, because we're not, this is not the last time we'll travel, so we'll take those experiences and those lessons with us.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing all those stories next year for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be cool. It'll be cool. So, you know, the one other thing I would say about goals is, you know, there's this acronym for goals that help you set good goals and be able to actually feel like you achieve them. And Dave, you did a real good job of setting what they call our SMART goals. So SMART is an acronym for, and forgive me if I fuck this up, but specific, measurable,
actionable,
realistic, and then time sensitive, I guess. And so all those parameters, if you check all of those five boxes, you know, you create a goal that kind of means something and is achievable. And if you achieve it, it should mean something to you. So, you know, if you guys are looking at setting a goal list, try to have, like, Dave has a lot of numbers and metrics around his goals, and I didn't have quite as many, but, as best you can really put it in writing and solidify exactly what a goal is, the better you'll feel about going back this time next year and looking at it and say, wow, yeah, yes, 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 no, and there shouldn't be as much ambiguity.
Yeah, and I will emphasize one other thing. If you're going through this exercise of goal setting, it's very, very important to write them down and put them someplace that you can review them regularly. So in my mastermind group, we actually have a shared Google Doc, and several times throughout the year, we kind of pop in and check to see what our goals are and see how we're tracking against those. And if you can do that, what I found is that you have a better chance of hitting them if you have an easy time of reviewing it, that it is, like we said, specific and measurable and so on and so forth. So you can tell, did I meet this? Did I not meet this? Am I on track to meeting this? With the remaining time, could I possibly meet this if I really pushed? Those are questions that you'll be asking yourself if you're going back and reviewing those goals over the course of 12 months with your mastermind or with yourself. And if you don't write them down, you don't make them specific, then you're going to find that those goals are probably going to disappoint you come December 31st next year.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Good deal.
Well, with that said, I'd like to throw out one last thing here, and this probably should have been done around a Thanksgiving episode, but I just wanted to say, you know, there are several things that I'm really grateful for, and I felt like I wanted to express it on the show here. Because I think, first of all, you know, expressing gratitude on a regular basis is just a very healthy thing that everybody should be doing, because it really sort of emphasizes the positive and shows you all the good that you have in your life. And if you're not doing that on a regular basis, you know, all the little shit that's just dragging you down can get overwhelming. But so the stuff that I wanted to say that I'm really grateful for is, first of all, I'm very grateful, Craig, that you and I have this podcast and that we've done this now for almost an entire year, and that it still continues to be something that is fun and enjoyable for both of us, and that it is growing with us professionally and personally. So, and I'm also very, very grateful for our several hundred listeners that are regularly downloading our podcast and checking it out every week. I really appreciate everybody who's out there that's taking the time each week to listen to our episodes here and learn with us and laugh along with us and maybe even cry sometimes too. That's really awesome. And I'm, of course, very grateful for my family who is supporting me in this entrepreneurial journey here and allowing me things like, you know, an hour or two a week to podcast. So that's really awesome. So I just wanted to say that here before the end of the year.
No, that's fantastic, man. I agree. It's very healthy to express what you're grateful for. And I'm grateful for the show and the time that you and I get to talk and share kind of what's going on with us and learn from people we talk to. I think the podcast is a great portal to a lot of insight. So absolutely there. And I think just the community we're a part of is just amazing. And when I share what we're doing with people, I just feel so proud. So, I mean, the whole crew and, you know, you and I and this show is a little part of it, but the whole sort of academy and micropreneur world is just so awesome. And I think it allows people to do so many cool things that, I don't know, I mean, 2 years ago, I didn't even think it was, a possibility. So that's, yeah, very cool.
Yeah, definitely. So the question for everybody in our audience is, what are your 2016 goals? And did your 2015 goals meet the mark? Sound out in our comments below or send us an email. Tell us what you think. And we're looking forward to chatting more with you all in 2016.
Awesome, man. Cool. Well, Dave, have a good Christmas and a good New Year's, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. You do the same, my friend. And to everybody in our audience, Happy New Year.
And that's our episode for this week. If you have any questions or comments, please let us know at podcast@roguestartups.com. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Rogue Startups. And be sure to visit roguestartups.com for full show notes on each episode. If you're enjoying the show, we'd sure appreciate a review in iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.